Well, Jesse's little lesson was actually the sermon, so I'll just do the benediction right now. No, that was awesome. What Jesse hasn't told you is last night while he was practicing that, he was practicing it and the bowl of alcohol actually lit on fire. That would have been really exciting. But that didn't happen, fortunately. Sam was like, move the bowls, move the bowls. So as you saw the bumper video for our sermon series, we are continuing on in our series on the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as Jesse kind of pointed out, today is actually Pentecost Sunday. In the church calendar, in church history, this is a day we celebrate 50 days after Easter. And so we're going to be talking about the importance of Pentecost. And as you'll probably have noticed as you entered into the sanctuary, I have provided a lovely little handout. If you are a good studious person, you can take notes, you can follow along. If you just like to listen, don't feel pressured to use the handout, but that's just as a guide. So there'll be some things I'm referring to there. So we'll be looking at the importance of Pentecost Sunday. Why is this something we celebrate in church history? Why is this something we are celebrating today here at Sunnyside? So what is Pentecost Sunday? When we hear the word Pentecost, probably what might come to mind is the denomination Pentecostal. I was actually talking to someone this week who was a Pentecostal, and she referred to herself as not a Pentecostal, but as a Pentecost. The Pentecostal denomination has kind of claimed this scripture in, or this chapter in scripture as their own. But it's actually something that's important for all Christians, no matter what denomination, no matter what faith tradition we find ourselves in. N.T. Wright, who is a biblical scholar and theologian, says this about Pentecost. He says, sometimes a name belonging to one particular person becomes so attached to a particular object or product that we forget where it originally came from. The obvious example is Hoover. In England, which N.T. Wright is from, at least we speak of the Hoover when we mean the vacuum cleaner. Happily ignoring the fact that quite a lot of vacuum cleaners are made by other companies which owe nothing to the original Mr. Hoover. It is as though Henry Ford had been so successful in car production that people said the Ford when they meant the car, even if, in fact, it was a Volvo. Something similar has happened with the word Pentecost. And that's what I was just talking about. Pentecost seems to be, like I said, this thing that we relate to Pentecostals. Their denomination is named after that word, but it's something far greater. So as we look at this, let's turn in our Bibles, which if you don't have your own, there is Bibles in your seats, which you can find this passage on page 771. So Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1 to verse 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and
Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, had made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine."
So, as we look at this, what we see is it says right in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had come. So when we think of Pentecost, this is what we think, this is what we relate Pentecost to in Scripture. This amazing event when the Spirit came, descended upon the disciples, they started speaking in all these different languages. But for Jews, Pentecost was something else. It was actually a Jewish festival. It was a Jewish festival referred to as the Jewish Festival of Weeks. You see, in the Jewish faith at that time, they had three different festivals. We know of one called Passover, to celebrate the Jews coming out of Egypt under Moses. And this was a celebration. 50 days later was the celebration of Pentecost, which actually can be translated as 50th. Penti, think of a pentagram, as 5 points. And so they would celebrate this. And so this is why it says that all of these Jews, all from every single nation, all from all 12 tribes were gathered at Jerusalem. Jerusalem was bustling at this time. It was overflowing with all these Jews to celebrate this. It was also celebrated at that time as the anniversary of Moses bringing the law down from Mount Sinai. Sinai, which we can see in Exodus 34. This is also important, and this would be in the background of every individual who was there at that moment, including the disciples. And as we think about this, Luke, who wrote Acts, wants something to be kept in the minds of his readers. He wants to see this relation between Exodus 34 and the events of Acts 2. You see, just as Moses went up to Mount Sinai and came down with the law, so Jesus went up to heaven in Acts 1, just the previous chapter, and has returned. But not with the law on stone tablets like Moses did, but with the dynamic energy of the law to be written on the hearts of the believers. You see, this is to fulfill the promise in Jeremiah 31:33, which says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Later on in Hebrews 10, verse 6, the author of Hebrews reiterates this by saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with you, with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law on their hearts and I will write it on their minds." And so this is what Luke wants us as readers to have in mind, this relation between Exodus 34 to Acts 2, this sense of the law now being fulfilled through Christ, becoming this dynamic thing, this energy in our life, this Spirit that fulfills Christ's promise. So what is the importance of Pentecost Sunday? Let's look at this. Acts 2:2-4 says, "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them." In my research, I was listening to a podcast by a group called The Bible Project, and they were talking about this event, and they said, "Wow, what would it be like to be there?" And they said, "I think it would be pretty crazy, because they'd be sitting there and suddenly, 'Ah, your head's on fire! Go, rush, get water!'" Fortunately, they didn't do that. So as we continue, we see that there are three signs in this passage: wind, fire, and tongues or languages. These are very important. Again, keep in mind that the Jews have a bunch of stuff in the background of their heads that relates to their scriptures, the Old Testament. And so we're going to talk about that. First, we'll talk about tongues and languages in a bit, but we're going to talk about this wind and fire sign. Why did the Spirit show up in a massive rush of wind and these flaming tongues of fire above the heads of the disciples? You see, what the disciples would have in the back of their mind were the events of Exodus 3, 2-3, and Exodus 40, 34-38. We're not going to go back and read those, but I'll do a bit of a summary. Exodus 3 is the famous story of Moses at the burning bush. You see, Moses goes and he has an experience. He has this encounter with God with this bush that is burning, but not burning up. Throughout Scripture, we see that God's presence comes through the form of wind and fire. Later on in Exodus 40, 34-38, we see that it talks about this thing that Jeff read for us, what's referred to as the Shekinah glory, the presence of God above the tabernacle and later on above the first temple built in Jerusalem. That God's presence was seen as this wind cloud above the tabernacle and above the temple. And then at night, it was this cloud full of fire, what might have been lightning, this presence of God. And so wind and fire represent the presence of God with his people. It's interesting that actually right before the exile of Jerusalem, before the Babylonians come in, there's this reference to the Shekinah glory, the cloud above the temple. It actually leaves the temple, and it never returns until Acts 2, which is very, very interesting. Why does it show up in Acts 2? Because God's presence is coming not above this building in Jerusalem, but above his believers and entering his believers. It separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. The presence of God came and rested and separated among them, uniting them so that they may become, as it says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And God's Spirit dwells in your midst." You see, what God was doing is he's saying, no longer do you have to go to a place to be present with me. No longer do you have to travel to Jerusalem. No, my promise is that I will be with you, as we reiterate every single Sunday morning. That the disciples are becoming the literal temples of God. That believers, as they enter into a relationship, as they confess their sins, as they declare Jesus as Lord, what happens to us is we become the body, the church of Christ. His literal presence comes and dwells with us. And this is the importance of Pentecost Sunday. This is what Luke is trying to reiterate on Pentecost Sunday, that his presence is with us, that his law is not something only written on pages, but is written on our hearts and in our minds. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:26, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it." You see, Paul begins to change the language from temple, which is a Jewish term, to this more what becomes a Christian term, the body. If you think about to last summer, we did a series on the body, referring to the church of Christ. That we here at Sunnyside, that those down at Trinity Anglican, that those at the Met, that those at other churches in Ottawa, in Canada, in Ontario, in the world, are the body of Christ. Why? Because of what happened at Pentecost, that his presence came and dwelt among us. That his presence came when we begin to have a relationship
when we begin to declare him as Lord over our life and walk away from an addiction to sin. In Acts 2, 4 to 11, it continues and says, "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.'" Not the sense of them speaking a separate language from their own, but as if it was their native language. This is an amazing event. So what's going on here? It says, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. I've already noted this before, that this was the festival of Pentecost for the Jewish faith. There were Jews from every nation. All 12 tribes were represented in Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem was bustling with people. It was full. Everybody from Israel was represented there. Both Jews and not only Jews, but converts to Judaism were there. And this event happens when the presence of Christ comes upon them through the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak in tongues, these languages that all those people have here. What is going on here? You see, this is the third sign that is shown here in Acts 2:2-4. And what is in the back of the mind of the Jews there and the disciples? It's not really said here in Luke, but this would be in kind of the background of what they're thinking about. Is the fact that when the Spirit came upon the prophets, they began to speak as if they were speaking God, that the words began to make sense. Also, this event of Babel, way back at the very start, is an event of separation of different languages. And now God is redeeming that by uniting his people so that they can all understand the message of the kingdom. You see, it says in Acts 2:41, those who accepted his, referring to Peter's message, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. What happened there was that the Spirit came, and he brought unity. He brought community to the people there, inviting them into the family of God so that they could understand it in their own language, with their own nuances in their language. What we see, what goes on in Scripture, is that the Spirit continues to come upon God's people as they begin to walk away from addiction to sin and enter into the kingdom, declaring Jesus as Lord. The Spirit comes upon them, and the Spirit gives them gifts, not only of tongues or languages, but other gifts. Other gifts to invite all of everybody else into community with one another. You see, the Spirit comes into our lives and he gives us spiritual gifts, which Elena will talk about in 2 weeks. And these gifts are given so that we may use them to unify as the body of Christ. This is what's happening in the context here, is the Spirit is giving a gift to bring the people into community with one another, so they may hear and declare and live out the message of the kingdom. In Romans 12, verse 6, Paul reiterates this by saying, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us,
Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. And he continues on with other gifts that were given at that time as well. Peter also says a similar thing in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's various grace. So, we've talked about what Pentecost is. We've talked about the importance of Pentecost in the time of Scripture. What is the importance of Pentecost Sunday here in 2023? What does this chapter in Scripture have for us? Brothers and sisters, if you have walked away from an addiction to sin and walked towards the kingdom of God, if you have walked towards Jesus and declared him as Lord over your life, then you also are baptized in the Holy Spirit in that moment. You have become the body. We have become the body of Christ. And what happens is the Spirit gives each of us unique gifts so that we may work together and serve one another as the body of Christ. So one question remains. What gifts has he given you? What gifts has he given you, given us as the body, so that we may be drawn together towards him and work as one, as the body of Christ? If you're wondering about that, I would invite you to return in 2 weeks where Elena will talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the incredible event of Pentecost Sunday in Acts 2. Thank you that it is not just something that is just prevalent to the people who were there in Acts 2, but it is something that echoes into our faith and into our life. Thank you that your presence comes and dwells with us and among us and in us. Thank you for the gifts you have given us so that we may be your body, that we may work as one. Lord, I pray that each and everyone in this room that knows you, that believes in you, that follows you, that declares you as Savior and King of their life, would embrace the gifts that you have given them so that we may serve together and each other as one body. Amen.